too. We get to spend 2 hours with the amazing Bill Tompkins, William Tompkins, the man who has graced these airways so many hours with so many wonderful stories, had a special day just yesterday. Happy birthday, Bill Tompkins. Was it yesterday?
Yes, it was, Jeff, and thank you very much. We had a ball.
You're very welcome. I'll bet you did. That's just really perfect timing. Tell us about your day yesterday. What happened?
Well, the family all got together, and it's a big family, so we all get together in my son's house, and going out with all different kinds of stories and things that they're involved in, that uh-huh. I've been involved in. And I just had nothing but a beautiful time. My wife, Mary, she gets lots of fun out of this because it gets to talk to all the ladies and everything and find out what's going on.
Well,
we all had a ball, truthfully.
Good job. Great to hear that. So the interesting thing about this whole thing is Dad is still center stage. People still loved it. The life you have led is so extraordinary. So you are respected on many levels by a very big family, which must have made it just, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall. That would have been fun.
Actually, it has been fun. I don't know what you want to get into tonight, Jeff, but I've got a couple of things that I really want to talk about, and I think that this is going to be interesting to the audience.
Let's do it. I'm always happy to go wherever you like to go. And in many cases, Bill Tompkins goes where few men have gone before. So let's go ahead, Bill.
Okay. I want to talk about something that it's hard for people to believe, but I want to talk about tunnels and caverns in the earth.
Okay.
This is a massive subject, which truthfully, our historians have completely ignored it. And it's something that is new to us to realize that other civilizations had lived on our planet underneath the ground, just like they do on other planets in the solar system and not in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to put up with radiation of the stars. It's kind of interesting. Okay, now I'd like to go back, and I know I've said this before, and I don't want to repeat myself, but in this case, I've got to bring up my cousin Walter.
Okay.
And Walter, as some of you remember, was the third party in my brother and myself digging holes in the backyard of his rented house with no landscaping at all back in the 30s, okay?
Uh-huh.
For whatever reason, he loved to dig holes, deep holes, and make them turn and keep working them until the hole would go down 3 feet, work itself back up, and come out 4 or 5 feet from where he started.
Wow.
He was a master at digging these holes.
He was a gopher.
He was a gopher.
How old was Walter at this time, approximately?
He was, 12, 13. Huh. And like you already know, most of you, World War II, he went to the Pacific and got shot up over there, came back, and got to UCLA and took geography.
Mm-hmm.
And then pushed that to where he became a geophysicist. And then later he became an astrophysicist, one of the principal ones actually in our country.
Yeah.
And so he got a job down in
Huntsville?
Down in Texas. Down in Texas,
uh-huh.
Houston.
Houston, right.
And working for the Shell Oil Company, which he hated. but it was real big money, and it was what he was interested in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing here is that, okay, he's working for a company that he hates, and he doesn't like the oil companies and what they're doing to everybody else. But it's big money, and he gets money to investigate and do studies on geology and astrophysics.
Mm-hmm.
So, in drilling the holes, there's a unanswered number of times that the different oil companies drilled into the earth looking for oil and hit a camera. Okay?
Right.
Now, no oil company will bring this up because they don't want you to know what they're really doing.
Never heard one story from any oil company about drilling and coming up with anything but either oil, water, or a dry hole.
That's oh, my goodness. Okay, Jeff. We have to have something here which is in the thousands, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not dozens. At times they've drilled into the side of or the center of or whatever, not only caverns, but obviously tunnels. So the situation then becomes apparent to these people that he works with that you can drill oil all over the planet, which means you're going to find tunnels and caverns all over the planet, okay?
Uh-huh.
Again, don't talk about this in front of the children. So he has these stories because frequently, I know I said this before, but frequently he would come from Houston and talk to people at Caltech and JPL and other places, TRW. So he would stay with Mary and I in our house over in San Fernando Valley.
Uh-huh.
And so we got to talk a lot personally. And so he and I then are feeding back and forth. I'm pushing him on what the extraterrestrial's doing. And he's pushing me on the holes and the caverns and the tunnels in the planet. Now, so this breaks down into two things I'd like to talk about tonight. I want to get in to what he was involved in, and I want to get into the tunnels and the caverns. And then I want to switch and go years later into TRWs again, studying everything. Money available to study any subject. So, yes, TRW studies tunnels underneath the ground, not just the artifacts over in Egypt that may be several levels down.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about massive caverns.
You know, Bill, when you think back about history and all of us who have grown up through the so-called education system, and I include the mass media in that, I cannot remember more than a handful of references to underground tunnels and caverns in my life. I mean, I do remember about Giza. The plateau is riddled with tunnels. We found out about that not that long ago, really, in the scheme of things. But other than that, I go back to I forget which newspaper it was in L.A. Might have been the L.A. Times. Front page story about the man, who claims to have found underground tunnels under, I think it was Brentwood, Bel Air area. And it was suggestive of a race of beings that had dug them maybe thousands of years ago. But this story, of course, was made to vanish like all the rest of them do. And there are very few references to tunnels. You're right. It's an area that is completely covered up, no pun intended. It is obfuscated for reasons that I think we can all figure out. So go ahead, Bill. This is really interesting.
Okay. I'm sort of hot with this tonight, Jeff, because I talk about this in my second book. There's references to Walter, my cousin,
uh-huh.
in the first book that I'm not saying you guys need to buy the book. I'm saying that you can get a lot of information just on the internet if you look up my name and then reference selected by extraterrestrials. A lot of stuff on the internet.
Okay? Yeah. Your book is, let me repeat that, Bill. The book is Selected by Extraterrestrials by William Tompkins, and a more fascinating book you cannot buy. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, this situation again with John, actually he changed his name from Walter, then he went to, and had changed his name to John because that was accepted in the universities better. Interesting.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay. So he then is over in Egypt and doing these studies over there. He did do studies in all of the continents on this planet, and actually preferably for the oil companies, but interesting enough, it got into finding artifacts, not just under the pyramids, but like under California. And reference to what you've just been saying, but in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
So this entrance into tunnels are actually all over the planet. Most of them are covered up. Most of them, unlike being down on flat ground, they're in the side of a hill, sometimes in the side of a mountain. The access to the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
There are thousands of access into tunnels all over this planet. And some of these caverns, like the ones in Antarctica, are larger than the state of Texas. Okay?
Wow.
These are very large caverns. There's very small ones, too. Actually, at the think tank in Douglas, we put together the requirements for the Air Force to build a tunnel from the Pentagon to Edwards Air Force Base, and from the Air Force Base to the coast where they launched their missiles at Vandenberg.
Right.
And just drilling that tunnel across the country, they ran into four other tunnels and seven other caverns. Most of them were small. Two of them were quite large.
Were the caverns, Bill, in any case, naturally occurring, and they were just utilized, having been discovered by earlier races, or were they created artificially?
These were natural. This is what the planet is made of.
Mm-hmm.
The whole outer layers, if you can draw the planet, the 20% of the outside of the layers is just crammed full of tunnels and of natural-made tunnels, even that the molded lava can go through, go horizontal instead of coming vertical,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of tunnels, many of them having been used for something previously,
mm-hmm.
like volcanic materials. And then later that structure changes because the planet is moving all the time. We're not living on a solid rock. This is unbelievable, but everything on the planet moves. The deeper you go, the more it moves. This is where we get our earthquakes, okay?
Uh-huh.
So the studies ran into with the oil companies were that there were tunnels and there were caverns underneath the ocean. And whoops, this hits another part of this little story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to change and I'll get back to it in a minute. I believe, Jeff, you had asked before, several programs back, what did the operatives actually say that were that worked for Admiral Riccobata?
Right.
The operative.
These are operatives, exactly. Meaning spies, who were going over to Germany during the war, German-Americans, fluent in German, obviously, going over there and then coming back on a rotational basis and being debriefed by, if you're new to the program and Bill Tompkins, being debriefed by Admiral Riccobata and William Tompkins, a young man in the Navy at the time, and a couple of other people. And that was about it. And these people were bringing back information. It was so staggering that even the Admiral couldn't believe some of the things he was hearing. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, so it turned out that the reptilians, the extraterrestrial reptilians that made an agreement with Hitler and the Third Reich to support Hitler and get Hitler to build some 15, 16 different classes of reptilian spacecraft military vehicles, which include transports and spacecraft carriers and every class you can think of. Put them in production, use slaves to do the construction, and build thousands of these. Okay. So they actually, the operatives said that one of the other things that had been run into in Germany was that there were caverns which the extraterrestrial reptilians located for them. And in some cases, they were at the point, if they hadn't lost the war, to build these different types of spacecraft, not just in tunnels that they dug, but locate caverns and build them in these caverns, because the caverns, even today, have their own atmosphere. They have, in some cases, artificial light. Not brilliant sunlight, but artificial light.
Would this, when you say artificial light, would this be some kind of a geological luminescence?
Yes, definitely. And unlike the Air Force that I mentioned dug a tunnel from the Pentagon to Vandenberg Air Force Base, the reptilians have larger diggers, if you want to call them that. They're a circular digging machine. There's a photograph of it in my first book where a lot of fellows on top of it. That when the reptilians dug their holes, these were like 250 foot in diameter.
Wow.
And they would dig these holes and connect where they needed for their facilities. They would connect these tunnels and allow their vehicles to travel at roughly 400 miles an hour, floating through the reptilian tunnels.
The 250 foot diameter tunnel could accommodate a very large craft. So they would use these tunnels to transit. Yeah, I gotcha.
They didn't have tracks like we did. But when we dug the holes, it would be so slow it's unbelievable. Whereas when the extraterrestrials dug the hole, they would take the material and they would convert the material to lining of the tunnel, which then would provide quite bright light in the tunnel all the way through it. And it wasn't necessary to have a tunnel, but they utilized the same system where light was not available in smaller caverns. So here we have a situation where we find out about this. The Air Force then uses tunnels for their sacred programs. But the extraterrestrials are already doing this all over the planet. Hmm. So we're not talking about just geological tunnels that may be caused by the lava around the volcanoes moving up into the side, but we're talking about extraterrestrial-made tunnels throughout the planet. Now, in addition to this, we're talking about facilities which the Air Force ran into that were in some of the smaller caverns. And these had foundations in them, ancient buildings, very similar to the ancient buildings on Catalina Island and now found on the top of the mountain north of Santa Monica here. It's called Malibu. And we found the same types of foundations in like two Pacific areas right here, and then in 10 to 20 different areas in different parts of under the United States. Then they also went into massive tunnels and much larger tunnels, which have never been established what the purpose of them were.
You mean bigger than 250 feet in diameter?
Yes.
Oh, my.
And this was never picked up, and it's another thing of the many areas that we need to study about our own planet, what's going on underneath the ground. And the actually fascinating underground caverns. This is totally hard to believe, hard to visualize. Caverns can have almost the brilliant light of, say, sunset in the caverns. And there are civilizations all over the planet that are thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. People who have lived on this planet many years ago preferred to live there than live on the surface, where in some cases you have extremely high radiation from your star. And also protection from comets and all these other things, they felt back then it was better to live underneath the ground. Now, everything we're seeing here is sort of a blue sky, okay? But it's not, because it's real. And so what...
I have a question, Bill, if I might. The reptilians who were building these 250-foot approximately in diameter tunnels through which they could move their craft, we'll call them spaceships. They would connect these tunnels to these enormous caverns. What was the nature of their society that we would see or we would describe as having been put in those caverns? What were the caverns used for? Were there buildings in there? You mentioned foundations that the Air Force apparently found. What, this must have been a thriving hive of a planet in places.
Actually, and it still is. We still have extraterrestrials living there. And the reptilians, of course, have these two massive caverns, which are they're larger than Texas, too.
Right.
And they've been there for thousands of years. And they also have other cavern facilities in different parts of planet Earth. So it's not just that we're going to wait here and watch the extraterrestrials come. They're already here,
right,
and they're living underneath the ground. And it's easy for them to come out of the ground, do whatever they want to do, and go back again.
Mm-hmm.
And with the ability that the reptilians have of essentially being half reptilian and then half human, which is provides our situation with Bill and Hillary and Bush running these countries. They also have the ability to make themselves invisible and make themselves change to a reptilian from a human.
Shape-shifting, yeah.
And so when you put these areas together and you realize that there are recent new developments, new construction in some of these massive caverns under the ground on Earth, these are newer people, newer extraterrestrials who have come here, and in some cases are not friends, but are working with for common agendas with the reptilians. In other words, the reptilians already have facilities, they have structures, they have buildings, they have water, they have lakes, they have essentially a partial light system, which you can call the sun. It's not that. And so they can work a day and a night. They can keep it at daytime all the time. They have this control. And these facilities are very advanced structures. They're similar to some of the structure foundations that we found when we got to the moon. And if you'll remember when we were talking about the astronauts going in orbit around the moon. So I'm going to go back to tunnels, but you remember we talked about...
I do.
Even before we landed on the moon, we made numerous trips with personnel on board, and we flew around the moon numerous times. One of those missions, it showed a foundation being built. So they went around the moon again. They came back. That foundation was put into two stories. They went around the moon again, and now they had six stories. And they kept going around the moon, and this building got to be 50 stories high, built in something less than 4 hours.
What do you think, Bill? Excuse me. What do you think the purpose for building a 50-story high building on the surface of the moon would be when it's so easy to go underground?
Okay, it is with their equipment. It's very easy to go underground on the moon. Okay. Now you've asked a question, Jeff, which has been asked over and over and over. Because above the moon, the astronauts have returned with photographs of buildings which are 5 miles above the surface of the moon and are sort of semi-transparent.
They almost look like glass.
Yeah, they almost look like glass, and they can be 1,000 foot wide at the base, and they can be 40, 50 stories high. Okay? And so now we have a reticular structure, which is floating above a foundation of an old structure, which is on the ground. The answer to what is that all about is the same answer that you're asking. Okay, to my knowledge, we don't have the answer for that. It's one of the areas that everybody's working on, the people that are doing this. It's not just one of these big transparent structures, but there's several of them. And in some cases, they're located above other previous structures that only have the foundations left, which are ancient. Now, we have these same type of structures now on Catalina Island, and we've got them on the extreme north end of Malibu, right here in California. We got the same shape structures. Okay, so now then, let's go back underground And let's look at the TRW studies of this whole situation of primarily caverns and then the support of previous located tunnels, mm-hmm. and then man-made tunnels, and then the reptilian-controlled tunnels, which are so much larger. So we got three types.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, I got to ask another question. When did us, begin to build underground in earnest? How far back does this go? We've seen the machines, and I think one of them might have been a TRW machine, a design with a U.S. Air Force logo on it from the 1970s, an enormous tunnel boring machine. But you're saying we, as people, as a species, went back further. We had tunnels going, what, in the 30s and 40s?
We did not drill very long tunnels,
okay.
to my knowledge. The TRW studies, which was, like we've said before, they have a lot of money and they can put the money into whatever they want. So they put a great deal of money studying. And actually, my cousin Walter, one of his trips to California again was to TRW, and the subject matter there were tunnels. And Walter was an advisor to the sub-laboratories at TRW on the tunnels. Now, to the reports that I was able to have access to in TRW, the first major tunnels were actually built here in the United States in recent years. Yes. Extraterrestrials had built tunnels thousands of years ago to simply make it easier to go from one large cavern to another.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the vertical tunnels, very few of them. Most of them are angular tunnels up towards the surface, very few straight up tunnels or straight down,
mm-hmm.
Because it's better for their vehicles. But there are some that are vertical. But TRW then were essentially making the studies on in 26 different locations planet-wise. And so, yes, the first place they go with is to get with the oil companies people and then get their data, mm-hmm. and then correlate that with what was programmed or planned. And then eventually it comes back and, you're talking about a TRW tunnel digger that's in my first book, mm-hmm. the photograph of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very small one. Mm-hmm. And like it's about 5 passenger cars long.
Uh-huh.
But it is small in diameter compared to the extraterrestrial tunnels. So what TRW did then, they stepped way back asking questions from anything historical that could be brought into their studies. And they started addressing different classes of, which were equivalent to, by volume, sizes of the larger caverns.
Mm-hmm.
What the terrain was that these were in, what moisture was available, what level of access to heat from underground volcanic heat. Just a whole series of worldwide underground facilities studying the cities, the existing cities, and the historical cities. And obviously, this gave TRW the access to some 11 different extraterrestrial civilization people that were living underground on the planet. And reptilians and grays were the two largest. So your TRW studies then went from historical to recent times discovery of more tunnels. And using the oil company's probably 60-year study of running into tunnels and caverns.
Right.
Which, again, like we started with, Jeff, this goes back to what the oil companies won't talk about. But TRW hired the oil companies, and again, they actually hired my cousin, Walter, to participate in some of those programs, too.
You mean John.
So, John, whose real name is Walter.
Right, I'm kidding, right. Yeah.
And discovering worldwide caverns, worldwide tunnel systems, okay?
One of the biggest secrets, ladies and gentlemen, you never hear a word about this. It has been kept quiet for many, many decades.
Nobody talks about this in front of the children, you know? I mean, this is just ridiculous. The magnitude of the planet that we're living on has people living there, and some of the civilizations have lived there for thousands of years.
There's outer space and there's inner space, and this is a whole another deal. Yeah.
The whole box of other things that are going on actually right under our feet, okay? Right under us. This is really...
Well, we've heard stories, and the stories that do make the news always intrigue me. People who complain about a hum they hear, or they feel vibrations under their feet. Some will report explosions. These are common, but they never go anywhere. They'll appear and then they're gone. That's it.
So, and personally, my family have felt all three of those many, many times, and I'm sure most people have. They just think it's something else, and they forget what the vibration was. They said, well, that was an earthquake.
Right.
No, it wasn't an earthquake. This is them doing their thing down there. And the fact that we have ancestors who were dedicated to living underneath the ground and maybe preferring this as they do on other stars' planet systems, because of the violent areas around some planets. So we haven't gotten to the part yet of how many planets even in the solar system may have people living in it, but they've got nothing on the surface.
Gotcha. Sure. The more inhospitable a planet might seem to be on the surface means nothing to people who live underground.
Yes. It's amazing. It's the opposite of what we think, because, gee, everything is burning down there. It's all molded lava. No, it's not. There are new modern type facilities being built underneath the ground on our planet as we're talking. Okay? New stuff. New facilities. And once again, we forget that the reptilians particularly have been doing all of this that we've talked about for hundreds of thousands of years on other stars' planets, not just in the Milky Way galaxy. They're doing it out in other galaxies too. So this is not new to them. Mm-hmm. This is old operating methods. And I think that, frankly, what we've just discussed here needs to be addressed by a whole lot of top people because it's being ignored.
Indeed. When TRW was investigating this, did you ever come across anyone who apparently had been down in these tunnels?
They said that they have. And knowing the programs that they had gone into, there's no question.
Uh-huh.
There's absolutely no question. I personally have talked to four or five of assistant lab directors that have been in the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I mentioned to you, to the group before, that the big tunnels are a big cavern underneath Salt Lake City. Is a massive one also. And when my dad took my brother and I back, we had to work in Salt Lake City while he did his thing. And so my brother and I went to the mall there.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to people, it was common that the three level down right underneath the mall was an entrance to a large tavern there.
Hmm.
So even the people living there were aware of the caverns right in that city, right underneath the ground. Now, we went down the stairs, and I think I told you before, we got to one tunnel where the door was open,
mm-hmm.
not unlocked, rather, and we did go down that tunnel, and it went to another area where there were three other doors which were locked. And there was no escalator or elevator going down.
Mm-hmm.
These were accessed, the ones that we saw, by steps. Okay? Not an elevator. But obviously, they have elevators all over their facilities that are mm-hmm. above ground,
mm-hmm.
and they've been doing this for thousands of years. But I'm only trying to say that there's large caverns underneath the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., which they have never gotten access to that we have been able to find out, at least the TRW studies. So maybe that some people have gotten into that.
How deep, Bill? How deep, approximately, are these? They vary, obviously, but generally speaking.
Some of them are still only like the top of the cavern is, these are all like bubbles in the earth.
Uh-huh.
So some of these bubbles are very small. Some of them are very, very large, which are the caverns. And some of them, which are in the medium to small, are actually only like 10, 12 stories down. This is the top of the cavern.
Mm-hmm.
Others are down thousands and thousands of feet, where the top of, to the top of a cavern that would be, say, as big as California.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the one that's under Los Angeles, Hollywood, Beverly Hills, is half the size of California. And it's right, I told you before that my dad had those stairs in the back of his office off of Wilshire Boulevard, and there was an access there that my brother and I both got down part way before the doors were locked. When we're just fooling around, my dad's doing his thing with all these people in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I hope people will take the time to look up Cheryl Tompkins, Hollywood. It's an extremely interesting
That's
document.
Bill's dad, yeah. S-H-E-R-R-I-L-L. Mm-hmm.
But what we're trying to say here is that TRW then had the option of digging new tunnels, locating tunnels, and getting access to caverns. Okay? DRW got that far.
Right.
And they got to caverns in all four of the main continents on the planet, South America, North America, Africa, all of these normal places, they got to the tunnels. The oil companies of, say, Russia had already gotten to tunnels too, because they had the same access drilling that American oil companies were doing, not just here, but all over the planet.
When an American oil company drills down and that drill bit goes into a cavern or into a tunnel, is it bringing things up, little pieces of artifacts, of intelligently designed material? How do they know what they're going through, except they know they're not going through rock?
Well, they also know that they're going through to an access of openness, okay? So the drill just goes right through this. The part that's coming out of the drill that normally pulls back up now is all falling into the cavern, or it's falling into the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've got access to the tunnel, say. And that's not what they were after. They were after oil.
Right, right. All of a sudden, the drill bit's getting no resistance, so they're tracking it, and they know there's something. It's in a void down there somehow.
It's in the cavern of some type.
Mm-hmm.
Small, large, whatever. But with the TRW group, their primary thrust was to get into the tunnels and get into the caverns. And much of that study, those studies, were all, again, classified, and not because of the oil companies, but because of this whole thing of covering up what's going on. And here again, what we're saying, I'm talking about both sides of the fence. We have the extraterrestrials, all the different types, who are controlling us, mind-controlling us, and they will not let us understand that, yes, they are mind-controlling us.
Uh-huh.
We have them on one side, and now we've got the oil companies drilling into these facilities and finding out that there are large caverns with both historical facilities and facilities that are just people that are working and living there now.
Wow.
So that would
be pretty disconcerting to be living down there and see a drill bit come through the ceiling of the cavern and grinding its way down through the air and then hitting the bottom.
And that's a no-no to the extraterrestrials.
I would think.
So they immediately take action. What we're really trying to visualize here is that the planet is not a solid rock with molded lava in the middle or whatever.
Right.
There's a massive area that goes down thousands of feet, and this is sort of a crust of different densities and different materials. And so then you have essentially millions of bubbles in the planet, all around the planet. And if you can picture that,
naturally formed.
Naturally formed. And then you have naturally formed unrelated tunnels, many of which are horizontal where you would think they would be vertical. Mm-hmm. And of course, lava has gone through that.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. moisture has gone through this. Water has gone because even the caverns down in Antarctica that the reptilians have and the Germans have,
mm-hmm.
there's very large lakes in those caverns.
Mm-hmm.
And there's essentially an almost perfect temperature atmosphere with minimum light in these caverns.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, it's not really cold, it's not burning hot, it's
right.
almost a perfect temperature for humans, at least.
Well,
and
I've
for
read.
Life.
Yeah, we have to pause, Bill, for a few minutes. I've read about this. You even at the surface here, if you dig down a couple of feet, the temperature variations are extremely small. They just that close to the surface. If you go down 1,000 feet or 2,000 feet or more, I can see how nothing would change much. Total stability. Well, all right, stand by. Bill Tompkins and I will be right back with hour two of our conversation tonight, right after this.